my beloved people, it's plainly obvious that there are many, many things in today's bulletin that you need to take home with you and to remember. From here on out, for the next 5 or 6 weeks, as you will see in the bulletin, there are going to be a many, many things that are going to be taking place. So do keep this schedule handy, and please refer to it on a regular basis so that you will know what's taking place. And they shall hear my voice. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. My beloved people, I think it is today that is referred to as Good Shepherd Sunday. I'm not absolutely certain, but I think this is correct. What is the voice of God? And where does the voice of God come from? The problem with us today is that we are trying to do all of the talking. And we are trying to answer all of the questions. And when the voice of God is to be heard, we don't hear it. We don't hear it over the noise that we ourselves are making. And besides that, when and if we do hear the voice, it doesn't make any impression upon us. Or perhaps even we demand that he himself come down from the cross and stand in front of us and tell us what he wants us to do. But he has to come down from the cross to do that before we will believe. If they didn't believe then, we're not going to believe now. The trouble is that we have to know what believing is, and we have to know what we're listening to when we are listening to that voice, which should be comforting to us and should be directing us in our way of life. When we hear the voice, how often do we catch ourselves saying, yes, I know what you're saying is true, yes, but? And we start presenting excuses, excuses upon excuses, trying to justify our own position. We read only last night, because we do reading here before Compline each night, and it is good to hear someone else say things sometimes, lest perhaps people come to the conclusion that some of the things they hear are just pure Leonardisms. It's good to hear somebody else say something sometime. And it came out last night that anyone, this is of course pertinent to monks, that any monk who gives excuses, who makes excuses when corrections are made, is not a true monk. That goes for everybody. Anybody who tries to make excuses for whatever he's doing or she's doing, is not a true son or child of God. That's a strong statement. But there has to be a line drawn someplace. We cannot continue going the way we are trying to go without it costing us something. If we wish to save our immortal souls, it has to cost us our own self-will. The question is, we don't understand what self-will is. Self-will is a very complicated thing. It's a disastrous thing. It's a destructive thing. And there again, we might say very easily, as long as self-will predominates, let us not talk about saving our souls. May I repeat that, please? As long as self-will predominates in our lives, let us not worry about the salvation of our immortal souls. We will not be able to work for the best of the next life if we insist on keeping the best of this life. And self-will is the foundation stone for the best of this life. A self-willed person is hard to get to, because a self-willed, to begin with, the self-willed person knows all the answers. He's read all the books. He's experienced all of the experiences. He knows what he's talking about. He always knows what he's talking about. And God help anybody who contradicts him. That's a self-willed person. And when he wants to go east, you might as well give up and go east with him. Because there's no such thing as him thinking about going west if that's where you want to go. And don't bother to tell him that the east is not the correct direction to go. Let him go if you want peace in your heart. My beloved people, we must learn how to listen for the voice of Almighty God in all that we do. It's the only voice that comforts. It's the only voice that the sheep really know. And when they hear his voice, they are calm. You know, I'm not really trying to reduce this to the ridiculous, but we do have a flock of chickens, as all of you know. And you know that chickens, like most animals, get spooked. And when they see something unusual, they get spooked. And they start jumping around and flying around and running around, trying to get away from that which spooks them. And oftentimes, the only thing that will cause the chickens to calm down is the calming voice of their master. And when he starts talking, they are chickens, yes, they're animals. And when they hear the calming reassurance of the voice that they recognize, they calm down right away. And thus it is with us, as when we hear the calming voice of our shepherd. We have got to come to grips with our self-will. Our self-will does not hear the voice. Our self-will blocks out the voice. It has to block out the voice because the voice would demand that the self-will be done away with, and we cannot handle that. It's the little things of life. I'm not speaking about earth-shattering things. You know, self-will is quick to remind you, well, I got along. You and I agreed on this when we built the house. You and I agreed on that when we bought the car. You and I agreed on the trip that we're going to take to Europe. But the little things, the tiny little things that come up 10,000 times a day, each day. Did we not find ourselves rearranging things? Did we not find ourselves moving things back to the position that we ourselves, that someone else moved in our lives? Did we not do that? Did we not try to justify why we moved, shifted the thing around a quarter of a turn? Did we not? My beloved people, it's time that we understood humility. And self-will and humility are opposite ends of the pole from each other. A proud man is like talking to a piece of steel. He won't bend. He will not bend. He cannot bend without breaking his self-will. And everybody around him has to suffer and be hurt and crumble in front of his mighty fist. We must learn the voice of the Master. Today is Good Shepherd Sunday. The Good Shepherd, when the little sheep gets lost, and you know, when the time that they seem to pick to get lost is on a cold winter night, rainy, dark, no moon, cloudy, wind is blowing and howling, and the shepherd has to go out to look for it. Shepherd is torn by the briars and the brambles because that's where the little lamb is someplace caught, snagged in the briars. And that's where he must go to look for the little thing. Eventually he finds it. Eventually. Does he kick the little thing and say, "You monster, forcing me to come out in this horrendous weather to look for you. I ought to leave you here to freeze to death tonight. You deserve death for bringing me out in this horrible weather." But what does the shepherd do? He picks the little thing up and he carries it home. Because he realizes that it has suffered enough and is frightened enough, and that it is up to him to make sure that the little thing becomes comforted and warm again and enfolded in kindness and understanding and charity. And when he gets home with the little thing, he puts it in the warmest spot that he can find and gives it the warmest and the driest straw to lie upon. And he feeds it the food that it likes to eat to make it feel home again. This is the Good Shepherd. And how many times, my beloved people, those of us who go around high and mighty in our beliefs, how many times have you and I dragged our Lord in the briars and the brambles, in the cold and the wet and the wind and the rain of a dark night? How many times have we dragged him out? And how many times has he picked you and me up and carried you and me home to safety? How many times? This business of saving our immortal souls is a serious business. And how seriously do we take it? Last week we merely mentioned it, but this week we put it in the bulletin. Basic questions. Do I want to be holy? Do I really want to be holy? What then is the root cause which prevents me from becoming holy? For us to come and live according to the letter of the law, for us to do all of the things that the letter of the law demands of us to do and to perform and to offer, and for the constant prayers that we are always offering up to God, my beloved people, a prayer, any prayer, any number of prayers that come from the lips of a proud man, are worthless. Are absolutely worthless. They're not worth the time of day that it takes to say them. Do we understand that? That's the thing that we don't understand. And that we think that because we say the rosary 4 or 5 times a day, because we go to church every Sunday, wouldn't think of missing Mass, we go to communion every Sunday, we do this all the time, we don't do that all the time, we're doing all kinds of wonderful holy things all the time, all the time, all the time. And as I said last Sunday, our houses have got gallons of holy water. There are pictures on all the walls. We wear all kinds of scapulars. We do all kinds of wonderful, great, blessed things. Doesn't mean a thing. God is not looking. Now, I'm not putting these items down. Please don't misunderstand me. And you know it. I'm not putting these items down. For what God wants is my heart. And if I do not have my heart hanging on one of the walls of my houses, of my house, throw the holy water out. Throw all of the pictures out and don't bother. It's the heart that Almighty God wants. And love is the basis for our Catholic life. And the problem is that we have forgotten how to love, and consequently we've forgotten how to be Catholic. The holy water, the pictures on the wall, the rosaries, the scapulars, etc., etc., and etc., are not the conditions of Catholicity. No, they're not. Please let us all understand this. It is only when I become willing to change internally, not on a temporary, we make our all do that. Is trying to teach us. It isn't the man who's in front of you who's making up these things. This is church teaching. This is Christian teaching. This is Bible teaching. This is Catholic teaching. We have to understand these things and put these things into practice so that what we do is not wasted. Today is Good Shepherd Sunday. Let us look to Christ to see how it's done. He is our example. He remains our example. He is the unchangeable example. Let us not of ourselves try to invent an answer that is suitable to us. He is the voice that we must listen to. I am not the voice that I must listen to. My voice is cluttered. My voice is prejudiced. My voice is ignorant. That's all the other qualities are to be bad qualities are to be found in my voice. When am I going to conclude conclusively in my own mind and heart and soul and being that I am wrong? What does it take to persuade myself that I am the one that is wrong? Does it take a family of lawyers to bring it to my attention that I am the one that is at fault? Not everybody who is around me. And what am I willing to do to prove to those around me that I am convinced that I am the one that is wrong? That's humility. That is humility. And unless and until I can be convinced from my heart, it's not a matter of a mental gymnastic or a mental exercise, which can be changed. You know, Shakespeare said, as inconstant as the moon, that's my mind. My mind is as inconstant as the moon. My heart is where my convictions are to be found. That's where I have to go to work. That's where I have to put things into practice. The monks have to take a vow that's called the conversion of morals, conversion of life, you know that. You don't have to take that vow. But I'll put it this way. Unless and until you do make a promise to yourselves that you must convert the rest of your life according to the voice of the Good Shepherd, there's no use in trying. We cannot expect the best of both worlds. And so we lose both worlds. What a tragedy. What a loss. I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. But the hireling, who is not a shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. My beloved people.